Thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me on the program today is author Georgina Donovan. A former business owner of a shave ice shop, Georgina Donovan's connection with Hawaii goes back many years, including frequent visits to friends in Oahu. A long appreciation of the islands has brought her a profound love of the aloha spirit and the magic that is unique to Hawaii. She has worked as a writer for newsletters, plays, anthologies, fan magazines, and online works. And as a member of the Sherlock Holmes and Literary Societies, she has lectured at symposiums on books and literature. Reads Like Murder in Honolulu is her first novel, and it's a unique offering for the mystery genre. Sprinkled with exotic locations and richly spiced with the tropical splendor of Hawaii, that emerges as a main character in her novel. A determined Haley Wyndham and a cast of quirky suspects and friends salt the escapade with pop culture hits and mystical twists. Kahunas, ancient legends, and a secret that leads to murder begins this first-class ticket to mystery and magical adventure. Sounds fantastic. Georgina's book can be found at dreambooksllc.com or on amazon.com. So all of that said, thank you so much for joining us today, Georgina.
Thank you.
So, big fan of Hawaii.
Yes, I am.
So tell us a little bit about your relationship with the islands.
Well, I loved it when I saw it on Hawaii Five-O, and I was watching it as a kid, and it was very different from the dry Southern California climate that I grew up in. So I thought it was very exotic, and I would make up little stories and, you know, about, like, my favorite people, mostly movies or TV characters, and they would be in Hawaii, and I would listen to the Beach Boys, and think that that would be just fabulous. So it was several years before I was able to go there, and it met all of my expectations and more. So I fell in love.
Well, I imagine being, you know, from Southern California, that there was a real connection with Hawaii to that part of the country.
Yes. There was a big surf culture here when I was growing up, and I never did learn to surf because I didn't live too close to the ocean, but it was my favorite place to be, and I always felt like I was on this side of the Pacific and Hawaii was over there, and someday I would get there, and I was really happy that one day I did.
Well, fantastic. Well, so tell us about your decision to set your book, your first novel, in Hawaii.
I love the exotic element of Hawaii, and I felt that that would be an excellent location for a murder mystery. And on my trips there to Hawaii, we have friends who live there, and we go whenever we can to visit them. And I was disappointed that there was a lack of literature that I would like to read, preparing myself to go on the plane, riding for 5.5 hours in the plane, and getting there. And there was no murder mystery set in Hawaii that I could enjoy on my way. So I felt, well, there's a niche that I could fill. So over the years, I was thinking and building what I wanted to see in a murder mystery that would take place in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, it's a great beach read. It's a great vacation book. And you have really incorporated the island in this story. It's almost a character.
Oh, thank you. That was my intention.
Mm-hmm. So as a writer, how do you cultivate a setting like that to actually take on almost a persona of its own in your book?
I have to feel like it's a vital and important piece of the story. And as you said, it is a character. It becomes a character. And if anybody is old enough to remember the old Hawaii Five-O series, I'll go back to that because I felt that the series, while it was a detective drama, used Hawaii very effectively as a character. They would always be on location, and you'd see the beaches and the fantastic skies and the wonderful palm trees, and they utilized that very well. And when I go to Hawaii, I feel all of that. Mm. That is part of what I experience, is I get up in the morning and go look and walk and experience everything that is part of Hawaii, the smells, the foods, the rainbows, and it just becomes ingrained in me. I hope that answers your question.
No, it absolutely does. It's so interesting the way an island, you know, and you're talking about Hawaii, but a lot of islands, they have a mood and atmosphere, a feeling that is very different than on a mainland. And unless you've experienced that, you don't really have that understanding.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, it's really true. You know, I love the way that you mention Hawaii 5-0. You know, it seems like every generation has had some kind of a pop culture TV program that's based in Hawaii. There was, mm-hmm. as you say, Hawaii 5-0. We had Magnum P.I. We don't have anything right now.
I know. It's a disappointment, isn't it?
It really is. We need something set in Hawaii.
So any of you television producers listening to this, you know, my characters and my novel are more than available for a TV movie or series, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. And I know you're a big fan of pop culture. You use a lot of references in this book.
I am.
Yeah. So tell us what else besides the old TV shows.
I grew up in a pop culture, I would call it a classic era in the 60s, the late 60s, where television was just becoming part of our everyday life. All the kids I knew, we would go home from school and we would watch favorite shows. Or on Saturdays, we would go to the movies. I grew up in a small town. There was very little to do, and going to the local theater on a Saturday was a big event. Buy our popcorn and our candy and hang out for a double feature plus cartoons. And whatever was happening, and James Bond movies were a big thing, and all the old 60s car movies and things like that. And so I grew up as pop culture being part of my generation. And I think I continued that. I don't know if I ever grew up, really, because I have enjoyed, you know, the TV shows and the books and the movies. And if you talk to people in a conversation, at least in my family, I don't know, many of the families that I do know are similar, will quote movies or will say, hey, this is an exact replica of what happened in this episode of Magnum or something. You know, we're very geeky in that way. And that's the way that I've always grown up. It was just part of my experience, and I thought, well, I'm not alone because a lot of my friends feel the same way, so it's not unusual to have somebody throw out a Star Wars quote or a line from a song. And I thought that is part of life, and I don't see that much in fiction, so I wanted to include that because to me it felt a little more real.
Do you think this generation now has the strength to sort of spin off icons of pop culture? I mean, it seems like there's just so much right now that it's kind of diluted.
That's a very good point. I agree with that. This is something that I've discussed with people in my family. When I was growing up, there were huge superstars, but they were like magnets, like the Beatles mm-hmm. and Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
And today, if you want to take one instance like music, there's nobody that is just a shining icon. There's many. And the same with movies. There's so many.
Yeah.
It's pretty mind-boggling. So mm-hmm. I don't know where the icons are coming from, maybe from everywhere, and there just are many of them instead of one or two.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really interesting when you think about it. So let's talk a little bit about the story and the characters in reads like Murder in Honolulu and how you bring the pop culture into the storyline.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
That's a mouthful.
All right. Yeah. Well, Haley Wyndham is the protagonist of the book, and she owns a mystery bookstore, and I thought that was a good way to jumpstart the genre, but also be able to add many elements of fiction that I appreciate, and obviously my favorite is murder mystery genre. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I mention a number of famous authors like Doyle and characters of Sherlock Holmes, but I also mention like the Hardy Boys, and I think one of the books that I mention is a character, Sloane, a very obscure British detective that if you read murder mysteries, you'll know about him, but if you don't, maybe you'll be curious and you'll want to go look him up, that kind of thing. I wanted to get people who would read this to read a little bit more about murder mysteries, because I think it's a pretty classic genre.
Oh, sure.
And then that, of course, excuse me, Haley is able to jump off of being a murder mystery bookstore owner into a crime, or what she thinks is a crime, and then she meets a real policeman, and they go through the steps, and she is watching him go through the steps of investigation as a policeman, but she's also in the back of her mind thinking, well, this is how my literary detectives do things. So if I'm going to copy them, what would I do?
Mm.
So I thought that would lend a little bit of another layer of interest.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And then so she gets all tangled up in all kinds of adventures, and I mean, you bring a lot of the mystical elements of Hawaii into the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really love that part of Hawaii, and when I go anywhere on vacation, for instance, I will do research on where I'm going. I don't want to go just to look at the postcard scenery. I want to understand what's important about this place, and I did a lot of research on Hawaii before I ever went there for the first time, and was able to appreciate it much more by doing that, and I found it to be extremely rich and interesting. So I wanted readers, some who may never have been there, or some who have gone for a few visits and sat on the beach, I wanted them to see that there was a great culture there, and it was interesting and kind of mystical, very different from the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the book to be from Haley's eyes. So Haley is pretty much the every person going there. She's been there a few times, but she is kind of a tourist. And this enables her to meet local people, understand history, excuse me, and gain a richer perspective while she's doing this investigation.
Mm-hmm. So who are some of the other key characters?
Keone Chase is a lieutenant with the Honolulu Police Department, and he is a pretty cool dude and very laid back and different from policemen that Haley has known in San Diego, where she has grown up mostly, and where we meet her when the book begins is in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kana, who is Haley's mentor, you would call him. He owns a bookstore there in the islands, and she grew up knowing him and learning about books from him. And then we have Keone Chase's brother and his sister-in-law, who kind of has a problem with running into difficulties with the law, and that puts him in a weird spot, having to bail his sister-in-law out of jail and things like that. So we meet quirky, kind of offbeat characters, but they're in Hawaii, and while they're going through the mystery, they're teaching Haley about Hawaii, things that she didn't know. She doesn't speak the language or understand it very much, and
mm-hmm.
some of the cultural aspects she's not too learned on. So they kind of teach her along the way.
And so, from what I understand, you have a sequel in the works. Will all of your characters be coming along into the sequel?
Well, most of the ones who don't get murdered off.
Because this is a murder mystery.
I have my favorites, and the main characters will be coming back, and you'll see a little more of a few characters that were just in Reads Like Murder in Honolulu very briefly. And then I had a book signing a few weeks ago, and it was very interesting because people who had read the book already were bringing the book in to get signed, and they were telling me what characters they liked.
Oh.
And that was really valuable because it was a perspective, particularly an older woman asked me what was going to happen to Kana, and he's an older gentleman, the mentor of Haley, and I thought, well, I need to pay a little more attention to who my readers are and who they like. So getting feedback of who they like is a good thing. If you like a particular character in the book, it's always good to tell the author because you don't know what their future is going to be in murder mystery.
That's true. You never know. Could just off them.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Georgina Donovan. She is the author of Reads Like Murder in Honolulu, and you can find out more about Georgina and her book at dreambooksllc.com or amazon.com. So tell me why you decided at this point to actually tackle a novel. You have written, you know, I mentioned earlier a lot of different formats. You've done newsletters, magazines, plays, scripts, anthologies. Why a novel and why now?
Because a novel is something that is a really long visit to that world. And I wanted to extend that visit because these characters were in my head and they needed a format that was much larger than a short story. And also, this was something I've wanted to do for many, many years, but because of family obligations and other things, I never got to that point. And I think there are stages that writers go through that they need to keep building and working. You just don't decide one day that, gee, I kind of like writing. I'm going to be a novelist.
Mm.
It's a long journey, and it took me many years, and I'm pretty much glad that it took me many years, because in the years I was able to see what worked in short stories or newsletters or if I wrote a skit or a play. It was enabling me to practice my craft
mm-hmm.
and get better.
Mm-hmm. Do you still remember your first attempts at writing way back when?
I do. I can remember sitting in my family room and watching TV with my dad, and he liked Hawaii 5-0 and all these like Perry Mason and things like that. And I would sit there with my little composition book and scribble out stories of the show meeting Beach Boys in Hawaii or something. You know, I mean, it was very, very silly stuff, but I can remember that. And I turned to murder mysteries when I found my first Sherlock Holmes novel, which was, I still remember it, The Hound of the Baskervilles Scholastic Edition. And it was in my school library. And I saw that and I thought, ooh, this is very mysterious and kind of gothic, and I'm going to give this a try. And then I was hooked.
Did you ever try to write for TV? It sounds like that would have been, you know, an angle for you, since that was how you started as a kid.
In the 80s, I had a wonderful writing partner, and we worked on several scripts, episodic and TV movies, and we got it as far as agents and script supervisors for television shows, and then we never got them sold.
Mm.
So we got up to that point, but it just wasn't, we could never break into the barrier.
It's a tough business.
It is very rough.
Yeah, it really, I mean, all the whole literary industry is, can be really difficult, but mm-hmm. that niche right there, script writing, is incredibly difficult.
It is. I have been to several writers' conferences, and it's pretty scary to listen to the script writers because they do point that out. And the literary side of things is pretty tough, too. I've tried getting my novel sold for several years, and it was not an overnight thing. And I'm very grateful to Jacob and Dream Books because they're a small house, and they were willing to take someone who is a first-time writer, well, considered a first-time writer, but there's never any overnight success. I've never met an overnight success. I've met a lot of people who've been working for years.
Yeah, yeah. So your writing methods, are you basically scribbling down ideas and writing on a daily basis? Do you use a laptop? How do you write?
I have a laptop that is my dear friend, and we sit down together every day, and I might not actually write every day, but I'm there jotting down ideas, and wherever I go, I always have a notebook in my pocket. I found many little convenient pocket-sized notebooks and little pens, and it's very rare to find me without a pen and a notebook because I have a friend who uses napkins and pencils. That's not a reliable way to keep track of ideas. But
that must drive your friends a little crazy every time you come up with an idea that you're writing it down.
That happened a few weeks ago with my daughter and her boyfriend. We were having a conversation about his tie, and I whipped out my notebook and started writing. and it was a little bit, I got some weird looks because that, you know, they don't know other people who do that.
So your ideas are coming from everything and everywhere. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. Like he had said something about his tie, and it sounded like an excellent thing for a man in a business suit to say. So I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, and it'll probably come to life somewhere in one of my stories. So you never know, but it's always a good thing to have a notebook and a pen, and if not, then something to write with and write on, because ideas are just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're standing in line at the grocery store and there's an unusually dressed person, and my imagination, I immediately think up a background for this person. Who are they? Where are they coming from? Is she a spy or is she a mass murderer? Is, you know, it's a crazy thing to have an imagination.
Yeah, it's interesting as a writer. I mean, you just have to basically let your imagination go and have no control over it. And
right.
And so it makes me wonder if there's times where you really need to sort of rein yourself back in, because the lines of reality and imagination are kind of getting a little too blurry.
I wouldn't say that. I think I usually have a grasp.
You're grounded.
But I do. I'm very famous for seeing, like, a news report and going on this fantastic conspiracy theory thing. And one time we were just sitting around at In-N-Out one time with this, that's a great hamburger place here in California. And we were sitting there and we made up this whole story, my family and I, about some thing that happened while we were trying to find a parking space. It was just crazy, but it's really fun because, you know, your imagination is a great thing to utilize and exercise, and most of the things that you come up with like that are never going to see the light of day, but it's really good to keep working it.
Yeah, flexing that creative muscle.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you have picked mystery for your first book, and your sequel obviously will be in the mystery genre. Are you going to branch out at all?
Yes, I am. I'm working on a fantasy novel right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of different novels in works, and these are ideas that I had outlined. Like I said, you get ideas and then you write them down. And you may not write on them that day, but they're there. And so that's another one that's in the works, is a fantasy novel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I've got a few more outlines for Reads Like Murder sequels.
Oh, good.
Several people have mentioned that, and I experienced this myself as a mystery reader, that once you find a collection of characters that you like in a setting that you like, you really want to have a series.
Yeah, it's hard to let them go.
I'm not sure. I don't read too many other genres because I'm so stuck in mysteries, but the other genres, like I read the Twilight series and Harry Potter, and I was very happy to have a series because you get hooked up and then you want to keep reading. You want to know what happens to these people.
Yeah, absolutely. Readers love that, especially for this kind of a genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you reading right now?
I am reading, I picked up a new writer that isn't new, but new to me, James Rollins. He writes adventure suspense thrillers. And in the back of my mind, I've always wanted to do some kind of a spy thing. That's been going on for a long, long time. So I thought I better read some current spy books, and I read the Ian Fleming books when they were, you know, I was younger, and so I thought, well, I better see what's new in the mystery, well, suspense thriller.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading him, and I have been reading the Fablehaven series, which is a fantasy for young people,
mm-hmm.
I won't say
young
kids,
adults,
but
mm-hmm.
young people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the science fiction series by Terry Goodkind, the Wizard series.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading those, and some murder mysteries that take place in medieval times. I'm just kind of bouncing around.
Bouncing around. So do you search out small press authors or self-published works, or do you stick with mainstream?
I go to either online sources like Amazon or Barnes & Noble,
mm-hmm.
or I go to my local bookstore and I look at the covers.
Mm-hmm.
First, I go to the mystery section. That's where I always go first. And on the way, there's a lot of displays, and I'll just kind of cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see what looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Covers are very important.
Mm-hmm. This is good advice for new writers.
Yeah, I actually went to the bookstore numerous times, I can't tell you how many, just looking at books, and not just murder mystery, but all genres, to see what the covers looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my family involved, and we would go there and pick out books, and we'd kind of make a little tour of the bookstore and say, this works, this doesn't. Why are you not impressed with this cover? Why does this entice you to read the book? So that was very important research, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard anybody say that at any conferences or in any interviews that I've read And I don't know why, because that was really vital.
It is very vital. What other pieces of advice do you think, you know, personally, that you have sort of gained through experience that you could share to our audience that may be aspiring authors?
I've already mentioned that keeping a notebook and a pen handy is very important.
Mm-hmm.
That is sometimes foolish, silly things will come to mind, but other times you're going to come up with a great idea and you should always write it down, because unless you're, well, you probably have a better memory than I do, but if you don't, you're going to forget it. Even great ideas can't always stay with you. So writing them down is really vital to having that great idea, because sometimes you'll have an idea and then it's gone and you'll say, oh boy, am I ever going to get that back?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Another method that I use is that I have a general outline when I start a story or a novel, and I use that as the backbone, but it is not something that is an absolute. It's something that is already on the page. In one of my classes that I took, the instructor mentioned one of the scariest parts of being a writer is looking at the blank page, and in our case, the blank computer.
Mm-hmm.
That first line, that first word, even the title, that's got to be, I mean, that is a moment when you're just staring at the screen saying, oh, where do I start?
Yeah.
So if you have an outline, that's a really good start. You have something on the page, so it's kind of a cheat.
Yeah.
But it helps you because you feel like, okay, it's not a blank. I can do this.
Mm.
And then you run from there. If you can get your first line or your first scene, and since I have written scripts, I can think very visually. So when you read the first page of my novel and Haley is riding her bike in San Diego, that is playing in my head as a movie. That is just very clear. So if you can do that, something like that, then it's really easy to get started. And from there, it should flow really well. And if you find that outlines are not working, something wasn't a good idea or it's not paced right, well, then change it. It's not written in stone.
That's true. That's really great advice.
Yeah. It is your own outline. You know, you're not getting graded on it, so don't worry about it. And so then I will go through and write a first draft and get that out of the way, where I get major ideas, plot angles, characters, people who are expendable, red herrings, all of those things come into the first draft. And then I'll let it percolate for a while and just sit around, and I'll move on to another project, and then I'll come back to it and see what it looks like. I'll read it again and see, okay, this works, this doesn't. I really like this character. He's not going to get killed off after all. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go from there to working it into a pretty good-looking manuscript and give it to friends who are mystery readers or writers or people who just like to read, and I'll get their opinion of it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the process.
That's really great to hear, and I know that's very valuable advice and something that our listeners that are aspiring writers, as I said, can really learn a lot from. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been great talking with you, Georgina. Our time today has just gone by so quickly.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I know.
Well, Juanita, I want to say it's been excellent. You are an excellent interviewer, and of course I love your last name because, you know, Watson, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's very cool.
Well, all right. No wonder we had a good flowing conversation today. That's great. Well, I am sure we will have you back on the program when you come up with your sequel, Georgina. And
well,
I just
excellent. Wish
you all the best, really. You put
Thank
out a
you.
Great novel. It's getting really some great response. And you have been at this writing thing for a while, so you're due.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, and you take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, listeners, that's been Georgina Donovan. Her new book, Reads Like Murder in Honolulu, is on shelves now. You can find it through Amazon.com or DreamBooksLLC.com. And I just really encourage you to have a look for this book. It's fascinating, got some great characters, a really good vacation beach read, and just a really great read in the whole mystery genre. So we'll definitely be hearing more about Georgina in the future. So I want to thank you again for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.